Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
Without ceasing, in everything give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, not just some things, but in everything give thanks. That no matter what's going on in my life, there is a sense of happiness in my life, even though I'm hurting and I'm struggling. Having the spirit of rejoicing. Today, I want to just look at these two words, rejoice always.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Last week, we spoke of a lifestyle of worship by responding properly to all the circumstances of life. We talked a little bit about a first response and what our first response ought to be to the things that come our way. And there are three things in this passage of Scripture that we talked about last week. The first one is that we praise Him. Second, we pray without ceasing. And third, we give Him thanks for everything. For the Bible says this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Three principles or three things that we do all at the same time, where we are living a life not like the world lives, responding to problems and trials not like the world responds, but instead being a people of the Word that responds properly to the trials of life. We saw last week what that proper response brings into our lives. Talked about the peace of God, the effective ministry that comes forth from our lives, where we see people challenged by our lives that look at us and say, I want what you have. I want what your marriage has. I want what your family has. I want what your church has. It's a kind of response that if we would make it our purpose and by habit respond properly, I'll tell you, your life will change. It'll change completely. Scripture says that He is enthroned upon the praises of His people. In other words, He rules and He reigns from your praises. And so what we want to do is look up instead of looking at the problem and looking at the struggle. I think about that first response. You know, when we were kids and we were learning in school about maybe if there was a fire or there was a fire on you, what was the first response? Stop, drop. First response is praise, pray, and give thanks. You knew that three. Do you know these three? Do you understand it? Do I understand it? Am I a man that gives praise to God even in difficult times? Even in difficult days? When I look at this whole thought of rejoicing always, because that's what the Scripture says. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, not just some things, but in everything give thanks. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophetic utterings. Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good and abstain from every form of evil. And may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. Make your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody asks, do you think that's a possibility? Do you think it's a possibility that He can sanctify you entirely and that your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because faithful is He who called you and faithful is He who will bring it to pass. Amen. And the key is rejoicing always. Having the spirit of rejoicing. Now, Scripture speaks of rejoicing always. And so today I want to just look at these two words, rejoice always. The word rejoice simply means to be calmly happy or well off. That no matter what's going on in my life, there is a sense of happiness in my life, even though I'm hurting and I'm struggling. Choosing to be calmly happy and well off. Choosing to do that always. And simply always in the original language means always. Okay? Don't have to go to the Greek to find this one. In every occasion, everything that's going on, I'm going to choose to praise my God. I'm going to choose to look up, confess Him as Lord, and walk in a manner that's pleasing to Him. Let me ask you a question, just right off the bat. When you look at your mind and you look at your spirit and your soul, are you a calmly happy person? Or are you a grump? Complainer? I mean, when you look at the overall spirit of your life, are you calmly happy and well off? Do you have that kind of spirit? Because that's what it means. Calmly happy, rejoicing every day in every circumstance. Turn to Psalm 118, if you would. Psalm 118. Wonderful passage of Scripture. We're going to begin in verse 19. Notice what it says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them and I shall give thanks to the Lord." Now watch what he says. "This is the gate of the Lord." Okay. Think about that. What is a gate? A gate is an entrance. A gate is an entrance. It may be entrance to a city. It may be an entrance to a small fortress. It may be an entrance into your yard. A gate is an entrance. If you have a gate and a fence around, a gate is an entrance into your world. And he says, listen, thanksgiving, when I give thanks, this is the gate of the Lord. This is how I enter into the world of God. How I enter into the kingdom of God. How I find the presence of God. This is the gate of God. When I give thanks to his name. When I praise his holy name. When I'm praying without ceasing. This is the gate. This is the key. This is the beginning. The key to everything. Where I have a spirit of joy in my life, not because of what's going on in my life, because those things change, but because of who he is in my life. Who he is. Joy in the things of this world lasts but for a moment. Is that right? You know, new car, first car. Boy, it was great. 3 weeks later, it's no longer a new car, is it? Where did the joy go? Well, you got your first payment. That's what had to happen. Right? Yeah. I have this spirit in my life that I am going to walk in the joy of the Lord because that joy is always eternal. And the gate to the Lord is the thanksgiving that I give in my heart. And I'm going to suggest to you, as I did last week, when I praise and I pray and I give thanks to God, it's the key to the presence of God. The righteous, he says, will enter through it. You enter through the gate to the world of God, the kingdom of God, by giving thanks. And so he says in verse 21, "I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation." Verse 22, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." What's interesting about this passage of Scripture is he's talking about today and every day. And in the context, notice the day he's speaking of. Verse 22, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." In other words, Friday before Easter was the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. The day that the stone, Jesus, was rejected. The day that he was beaten. The day that he walked up Golgotha's hill in Calvary and was nailed with his hands and his feet. The day that he gave his last mortal breath is the day that the Lord has made, he says. The day that the builders rejected him became the very cornerstone. This is the day that he has made. And if God made Friday, the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he is saying, "Rejoice and be glad in that day." Don't you think we ought to be doing that today? Amen. Because today is Resurrection Day. And it just doesn't mean Sunday, folks. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is Resurrection Day if you're in Christ. This is the day the Lord has made. So that every circumstance that comes my way, everything that's uncertain in my life, and everything that's joyful, that brings joy in my life, I am to rejoice and be glad in it. Every day. Every circumstance, I want to choose to be calmly happy and well off. And you know, when I do that, then I just know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when I'm doing that, the junk is passing away from my life. I'm truly living the new life of Christ. I praise him, I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and I know that I'm calmly well off in Christ. That's what makes us different from the world, folks. The Bible says we don't grieve like the rest of the world grieves. Is that right? We don't grieve like the rest of the world grieves. We are a people that when we grieve, we know that the grieving will soon be over, because grieving may last in the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. And that's the hope. So that if you're going through a death of a marriage, if you're going through death of a loved one, if you're going through death of a dream or a vision that you've had for your life, a death or vision for a certain season of your life, that all of a sudden it's gone and the things that made you happy or you thought made you happy are gone, and you're facing something new and something different, and there's this uncertainty, a shout of joy comes in the morning if you're in Christ. We are to rejoice in every day and in every circumstance, because it's the day the Lord has made. Folks, that means a couple of things. That means even when you're persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Look at Luke chapter 6, 22 on the screen, if you would. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and cast insults at you and spurn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day. And watch this. Leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. When we're persecuted, and when we're hated, and we're ostracized, and insulted, and spurned as evil people, for the sake of Christ, be glad in that day, rejoice. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you've been persecuted for your faith? The Bible says if you wish to live a godly life, that you will be persecuted. I didn't say that. I look at my life and I see very little persecution. I see very little persecution in my life because of my walk with Christ. But for the sake of Christ, when you're persecuted, you're to rejoice. Every day, in every circumstance. You know, the apostles practiced this in Acts chapter 5. Turn to Acts chapter 5. We won't look at the whole passage, but just know what happened to them when they were thrown into prison. Scripture says that an angel of the Lord came and got them out. And when they started looking, they finally found them. They were in the temple. They were teaching. The authorities came back to them, found them, brought them to the council. And in verse 28 said, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. And yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man." Verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He's the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." In verse 32, he says, "And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." Spirit of God given to those who obey Him. We are witnesses of this. He says, we must be speaking this whole message of this life. We can't be silent about it. And in the midst of persecution, in the midst of being insulted, we must continue to preach and teach and speak of this great work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. In verse 40, the scripture says, "They flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they released them." And so what did they do? They went on their way from the presence of the council. Here it is, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for His name. When you're persecuted, you know what the Bible says? You are worthy to suffer shame for Him. You were worthy. We think the opposite, don't we? If we don't have trial, if we don't have struggle, if we don't have persecution, then God has somehow granted us favor. But I want you to notice, God has granted them favor by being able to suffer with Him. Twice in the Beatitudes in Matthew, He says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those when men revile you and say all manner of evil." Twice. "For great is your reward in heaven." The favor of God is upon a people who are persecuted for the name of Christ. Rejoice, He says, always when persecuted. There's another time we're to rejoice the Lord, and that's through trials and temptation. When we're tested and tried, we are to give thanks to the Lord. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 6, I believe is on the screen. It says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." Notice the word is when, not if, when you encounter various trials. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, and if any of you lacks wisdom, and folks, wisdom is not just knowing, it's doing what you know. A wise man is one that doesn't sit up in some tower somewhere and writes these great words of wisdom. He's the man that knows how to act right. That's a wise man. And the scripture says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Wisdom for the trial. I grew up being taught that you never ask God why. I'm going to tell you, I ask God why. God, why is this happening? What is going on? Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond? God says, listen, you want to know why? You want to know what I'm doing? You know what I'm up to? Go on, ask for wisdom, and I'll give you wisdom. I'll show you what to think and what to do and how to do it. But you better ask me in faith, because if you don't ask me in faith, you're like this sea that tosses. You ask me in faith, and you can be confident to know that you're going to know how to act and how to live and how to respond to the trial that you're going through. The trial comes, I consider it all joy. Why? Because God is training me for something. He's testing me for something. He's training me for something that is bigger than I've ever thought before. So I go through the trial, considering all joy, knowing that He's going to use these circumstances for the glory of God. And I consider that joy, and I say, God, I'm confused. I don't understand. I need wisdom here. What am I going through? And what are you up to? And God is so gracious to let you know. So gracious to tell you. So gracious to say, yeah, this is what's happening. But the trial, it's just momentary and it's just light affliction. And it's going to produce for you a weight of glory beyond all comparison. While you look at the things that are not temporal, but as you look at the things that are eternal. You go through a trial this week? Go through a temptation this week? He says, consider it all joy. Look beyond the trial. Look beyond the temptation and see what God wants to produce in your life. Look at it in the sense that God's going to do something big here in my life. That God's going to work, and God is at work. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I want you to notice a trial here that the first church went through. Notice verse 32. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened... In other words, after you were born again, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly becoming sharer with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners, and you accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. Did you see that? They accepted joyfully the seizure of their property. In other words, when they came into a Christian's house and said, we're taking this property, you know what they did? They joyfully gave it over. Now, that's just not the American way, is it? It's just not the American way. You know why it's not the American way? Because the American way is get all you can, count all you got, and hold on to it. Because somehow we think that we are going to be able to take it with us. He says, you did this knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting possession, eternal possession in heaven. Knowing what? Knowing that you have something better than your house, better than your car, better than your farms, better than your businesses, better than your buildings, better than your rent houses. You accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. These believers, they had houses and they had stuff and they had things, and the minute they came to Christ, you know what they said? It's no longer mine, it's God's. And when their property was seized, they joyfully gave it. Why? Because they weren't stealing from them. They were taken from God. Because it's God's. Folks, we hold on to stuff and things so tightly. I mean, believe me, biggest struggle of my life would someone come to take something away from me. That's a struggle. but for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the glory of His name, would I truly have such the Spirit of God living in me that I would joyfully say, ah, here. Bible says you joyfully did this. You went through suffering, you went through tribulation, and you joyfully gave your property. He says, and you did this knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting possession, eternal possession in heaven. Verse 34, therefore don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For in a little while, a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Listen, can't do this in the flesh, folks. Can only do it by the Spirit of God. I rejoice when I'm persecuted, and I rejoice when I'm tried and tested. Why? Because of salvation's work in my life. I rejoice always, every day, because of the great salvation that God's granted me. Do you know that great salvation? If you've been plucked from the sin of adultery, or lust, or bitterness, or anger, if you've been plucked from a lifestyle of addiction by your faith and by the faith that God's placed with you, if you have been forgiven much, you will love much. And you'll have a joy because you were enslaved and now you're free. And I think probably the reason why some folks in the Western church are so joyless is because maybe they've never gotten free. Because if you've gotten free and you have this salvation and you know what God's done for you, I'm going to tell you, you're going to love much, you're going to serve much, and you're going to rejoice much. Listen, in Acts 13:48, the Scripture says, when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying. What did they hear? They heard that they were welcomed into the family of God. And they began glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life, they believed. Luke chapter 10, when the disciples came back from casting out demons and proclaiming the kingdom, and they marveled and they rejoiced. They said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. What did Jesus say? Don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are recorded in the book of life. Rejoice that you have Jesus as your Savior, Lord. That you are now saved. That you are delivered from the power of sin. That you have been made new in Christ Jesus. That all things are passed away. All things have become new. That you no longer walk in the deeds of the flesh. You walk by the Spirit of God, fulfilling the fruit of the Spirit. That you've got this love and this joy and this peace. That you are forever grateful to our great God. Turn to Luke chapter 7 and we'll close with this. Luke chapter 7. Verse 36. Now, notice what it says in verse 36. One of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. In other words, she was a prostitute. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him, at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with perfume. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered. And that's, Jesus will answer your thoughts. Did you know that? He answered the thoughts. Simon, I have something to say to you. He replied, say it, teacher. Simon, a moneylender, had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. A denarii is about one day's wage. These days, 50, 60 bucks for a common laborer. Okay. This guy owed him 500 and one owed him 50. And when they were unable to repay, watch this, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave more, whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. And you didn't anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. For he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." And those who reclined at the table with him began to say themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I want you to bow with me in prayer. You might ask, what does that story have to do with joy? I'm going to tell you, it has everything to do with joy. There's nothing like a dirty, rotten scoundrel realizing that his sins have been forgiven. Is that right? And the reason why there's probably no joy in some people's lives who call themselves Christians is because they've never seen themselves as a dirty, rotten scoundrel. He who is forgiven much loves much. And I just got to ask the question today, are you loving much today? Because I want to tell you, when you rejoice in the Lord over your salvation, it's because you're loving much. You know that God saved you and delivered you and took you out of the pit of destruction, put your feet upon the rock and put a new song in your mouth. You know that God saved your marriage. You know that it was God who did these things, because you know that a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. And folks, anything that you have in this life is because God was gracious enough to let you have it. But so many times the things of this life, the things of this world, the things that take money, the physical things, the temporal things of this life, we get so concentrated on them, we get so consumed with them that we miss the blessing and the joy of who God is in our lives and what He's done. And the verse becomes true of our lives. It says the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. And one day we wake up and we realize that he has stolen the joy of the Lord from our lives. Because something negative happened in my life. Let me ask you a question. Do you love much? Do you know that you've been forgiven much? If you just think you've been forgiven a little, you're not going to love God like you need to love Him. Because every one of us have been forgiven much. On the road to hell, when Jesus saved us. Whether you were 8 years old, whether you were 18 or 88, He delivered you. And there ought to be praise coming forth from our lips. And not murmuring and grumbling, because we can't make ends meet because of the debt we've accumulated. We have a great and awesome God who deserves our praise. And I'm telling you, it's not just here on Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle of praise. It's a lifestyle of rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you. Will you do that today? Will you rejoice and choose today, no matter what's going on, to be calmly happy? Doesn't mean that you don't grieve. Doesn't mean that you don't hurt. It just means that you have a hope that goes beyond the hurting. And you know that this too will pass. That momentary light afflictions are producing for us a weight of glory far beyond all comparison as we behold the things that are eternal and get our eyes off the temporal. I love that verse of Scripture because he says the trial is momentary and it's light. He never gives you anything that you can't handle. This question is, are you handling it? By being joyful today. By praising Him.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just as